Friends, let's join in prayer. Good and gracious God, we too are wanderers. We find ourselves straying away from your call for each of us, and yet you yearn to call us home again. Help us to hear the cry of your heart to our hearts, to return home to your loving embrace, to find you ready to welcome us home, to restore us, to bring the healing, the hope, and the help that you know that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every time I read this story, I can't help but wonder if that younger son was totally surprised when his father gave him what he asked for. This request wasn't like your normal advance on an allowance. The younger son's request was of real significance. In essence, this son of our story is saying to his father, "You are dead to me. I have no more need of you. Now give me what's coming to me." With such insistence, the son separates himself from his father, and their relationship from that moment onward has changed. The son rejected and certainly dishonored not only his father, though, but also the whole community. He did something that was offensive to everyone. So hurtful and shameful was this younger son's act of severance that everyone, including his brother, the slaves, the hired hands, the entire village, all must have felt dissed and rejected. That's as far as they were concerned. They hoped they'd never see this young man again. Good riddance to you. It seems everyone felt this way. Except the father. Throughout this entire story, the father is depicted as kind of a silent presence that's not heard from until near the end of the story. He doesn't ask questions of the younger son about why he wants to leave. He doesn't argue or get angry with the son. He doesn't ground the son or put him on restriction. The father simply divides his entire property and allows the younger son to go with his share pursuing the path that he seeks. For years, as I've read this story again and again, it always seemed rather easy to fall into the trap of understanding this story simply as a way of speaking of two contrasting sons. This bad son who runs away and does bad things. And the older son who is good, who complies with his father's will and always does what he's supposed to. The difficulty, though, that I've seen over the years as I've looked at this story again and again is that contrast between bad versus good, black versus white. A viewpoint that really isn't all that realistic, given that none of us is fully one thing or the other. It seems that really the heart and core of this story, as I've delved into it, is about love. Love that is genuine, love that is unconditional, love that is poured out abundantly, lavishly, mercifully. And it's this love that really changes things. Which is why I'm thinking that maybe this story today is more about love as revealed through the Father than it is about a story of what's good and bad and what that means. Luke, our gospel writer today, leads off the story with some revealing words. Right at the very beginning of the chapter, we read, "There was a man who had two sons." From the beginning, the focus of the gospel seems to be first and foremost upon this father. Now, even though the story tells a lot of details about the younger son and all that he does, we even get a glimpse into his very mind and the way he's thinking, It's the Father that's lifted up. The Father who makes it possible for the Son to leave and to be restored again. It's the Father's love that is strong and abundant. He doesn't cling to his Son or try to control him, simply lets him go to find his own way. The Father's love is so strong and expansive. He's willing to wait for a change of heart in his Son that will bring that Son back to him. The Father's love is strong and expansive. He doesn't hesitate to welcome the Son back home, no matter how far away he has wandered. Friends, this, I believe, is the good news of this story. It's good news for all of us who make choices to wander away. Choices that take us away from our Heavenly Father. And I dare say we all fall into that now and then. Most, if not all of us, can feel at times like we want to run away, to flee our true home and the place where we belong. We grow disillusioned with our lives, perhaps. We get weary with the burden of responsibility. We get angry at God and shake our fist at heaven. We feel abandoned and betrayed by those we trust. And in a spirit of rebellion, like the younger son, we run away for a time to a place that leads us far from our home where we belong, thinking that we can discover something better than what we have. However, it doesn't take long in this far away place that maybe we have wandered into to learn that life can stink at times, like a pigsty, in those places where we choose to go, the places that carry us far away from the home with God where we belong. Now, here is the really good news. Regardless of why we wander so far away, despite the things that we may do while we are away, and no matter how long we choose to stay away, we can always go home. Home to our Heavenly Father. But here's the struggle that I have, and maybe you do as well. In choosing to return home, especially after being away for such a long time, the son in our story, much like you and me, starts doing battle with all these nasty inner voices that accuse our heart. Who do you think you are, Dave, after all that you have done? You don't really think you can go back home as if nothing ever happened, do you? Your father doesn't want you back. You're not even worthy to be called his son, and you never were. Friends, it's at this point, in this well-known story, I dare say to all of us, that we need to pay particular attention to the response of the younger son's father. The way in which the father reacts to the son is huge. Luke says it this way, "But while the younger son was far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around the son and kissed him." Now, if you know anything about Middle Eastern culture, the common clothing item that many patriarchs wore were long flowing robes. But this creates a rather unique picture for us. Imagine a dignified patriarch of a family, an honored and respected man in his village, hiking up his robes between his legs, burying those legs, and literally running to this son to embrace him. That son should have come to him begging for mercy, bowing down before him. But that's not the way this father responds. The father knows that love, a genuine love that reaches beyond what could ever be earned or deserved, is the only real way to love. This is why the Father runs, to embrace the Son, in order to intercede before the Son can even change his mind and turn and run away. You see, this Father knows, as does our Heavenly Father, that experiencing love in all of its fullness, love that is genuine, unconditional, without limits, is the way to lead us home. Thus, the actions of the Father today in our story, even as his Son begins his heartfelt confession, the Father starts ordering his servants, "Quick, bring a robe, the best one. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. We need to celebrate." All of which are a series of restorative actions on the part of the Father to say to the Son, to all of the villagers, to anyone who might question it, "I have restored my Son fully. He is now one with me." This loving Father wants the world to know that what was lost to him has indeed been found, that the relationship that once was broken has been restored and healed. Friends, I ask you today, in light of this story and in the spirit of this season when we are invited to turn our hearts back to God, to return to the God who loves us, to return home again, where do you find yourself? Are you considering leaving home? Maybe leaving God behind, leaving behind your faith because somehow you are ashamed of who you are, or because of some action or hurt that has poisoned your spirit and your heart toward God, and so you want to just run away and hide? Are you living already, perhaps, in that pig pen of life, not certain how you got there, but convinced that you can never go home again, especially after what you've done? Are you on your way back home? Perhaps responding to the tugging of God's Spirit, but you're still struggling inside with how you will be received, full of doubt still that there can be a place at the Father's table for you. Friends, today, in light of this powerful story, our Heavenly Father reminds us that He is patiently waiting for each and every one of us to return home again to His loving embrace. Our Heavenly Father is longing to restore us to that place where we have always belonged. He's ready to welcome you, friend. He's ready to welcome me back to our home. A home built upon the solid foundation of love. Love that was represented by a cross as our God allowed himself to be crucified there, demonstrating this powerful, amazing, all-embracing love that knows no limits. A love that brings healing. A love that restores hope. A love that's always been intended for you. May we never forget that. Thanks be to God.